Master Teresa Tsu Shinada's Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Shikaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, Sri Vas Adigor Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radhisham, Gopa Gopinath, Shamakun, Radhakun, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Nathuri Dham Ki Jai, Nathapik Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamunamayi Ki Jai, Ganga Mayi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, All glories to the Yashama devotees, all glories to the Yashama devotees, all glories to the Yashama devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthana Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Desatarane Hare Krishna. Today we're reading from 3rd Canto, 5th Chapter. Vidura's Talks with Maitreya. We're up to text number 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Let's say these prayers together. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhiraya Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhakti Naisaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. And we also like to offer our respects and appreciation to Srila Prabhupada, who translated and commentated on the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, we wouldn't really understand much at all. By regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. And the very meaning of irrevocable means that the benefit can never be taken away or ever lost. No matter how our sojourn in our spiritual progress goes, maybe there's some ups and downs or twists and turns, whatever attempts that we make and whatever, all that time that we hear the transcendental sound vibration or render devotional service, all that's accumulated and never lost. Hare Krishna. There's no place like that. There's no investment that you can do like that. Where's your investment? We can ask the investment lawyer or whomever, you know, where can I put my investment in that will never get lost and will always increase? And he'll say, he might say something, but he'll be cheating you if he does say something. Because in the material world, there's nothing like that spiritual benefit. Hare Krishna. Okay, text number 6. Yata puna sveka idam niveshya.
Yata puna sveka idam niveshya.
Yata puna sveka idam niveshya. Sete guhayam sva nivritta vritti.
Sete guhayam
sva nivritta vritti. Yogeshvara Adishvara Eka Etad.
Yogeshvara
Adishvara
Eka Etad.
Yogeshvara
Adishvara
Eka
Etad.
Anupravishto Bahuda Yatashit.
Anupravishto
Bahudha Yatashit.
Anupravishto Bahudha Yatashit.
Just one mantra that I forgot. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I did it? I forgot that I said it. Sad, huh? Okay. And here's another one I'm going to say before I forget that. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Ginangina Talakaya Chaksu Uviditam Jena Tasmai Sivurve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I'm indebted to him life after life and beg for service at his lotus feet in any situation. Hare Krishna. Okay, one more time. Yata punasve ka idam nivesha.
Yata punasve ka idam nivesha.
Sete guhayam, guhayam sa nivritta vritti. Yogeshvara Dishvara Eka Etad Anu Pravishto Bahuda Yatashit. Please chant.
Yata Punasve Kaidam Nivesha.
Yata Punasve Kaidam Nivesha. Yata punasve ka idam nivesha. Sete guhayam sanivritta vritti. Yogeshvara Dishvara Eka Etad. Anu Pravishto Bahuda Yatashit. Yata punasve ka idam nivesha.
Sete
guhayam sa nivritta vritti.
Yogeshvara Dishvara Eka Etad.
Yatashit.
Yata
punasve ka idam nivesha. Sete guhayam sa nivritta vritti.
Yogeshvara
Dishvara
Eka
Etad.
Anu
Pravishto Bahuda Yatashit. Yata. As much as. Puna. Again, Svay, in his,
K,
form of space, Viratrupa, Idam,
this,
Nivesha,
entering into,
Sete,
lies down,
Guhayam, within the universe,
Saha,
he, the personality of Godhead,
Nivritta,
without endeavor.
Vritti,
means of livelihood.
Yoga Ishvara,
the master of all mystic powers.
Adhishvara,
proprietor of everything.
Eka,
one without a second.
Etat,
this.
Anu Pravishta,
entering afterwards.
Bahuda,
by innumerable.
Yata,
as much as.
Asit,
exists. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. He lies down on his own heart, spread in the form of the sky, and thus placing the whole creation in that space, he expands himself into many living entities, which are manifested as different species of life. He does not have to endeavor for his maintenance, because he is the master of all mystic powers and proprietor of everything. Thus, he is distinct from the living entities. He lies down on his own heart, spread in the form of the sky, and thus placing the whole creation in that space, he expands himself into many living entities, excuse me, which are manifested as different species of life. He does not have to endeavor for his maintenance because he is the master of all mystic powers and the proprietor of everything. Thus, he is distinct from the living entities. So, in this verse, there's some distinctions made between the Supreme Lord and the living entities. Can you pick out some of the distinctions there? What are some of the distinctions that are mentioned, occur not to me?
He doesn't have to endeavor for his maintenance.
That was a big one. That was a big one, wasn't it? Because there he is, and everything, he's by his own potency, he's manifesting everything and maintaining everything by his own potency. It's a big distinction between the living entity, as we're very familiar with the term, struggle for existence. The struggle for existence to maintain ourselves because we're distinct. We have similar characteristics, but we're distinct. Another thing, another distinction that was mentioned there. He expands himself into many. He, in other words, Adi Ishvara. Everything comes from that original personality of Godhead. All of us, all of everything, all everything that we see and everything that we don't see, it all comes from him. And yet, the illusion is that we think that we're the center of the universe. What a great illusion. It's a grand illusion. Okay, here's the purport. There's more things we'll talk about. Okay. By Srila Prabhupada. The questions regarding creation, maintenance, and destruction, which are mentioned in many parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam, are in relation to different millenniums, kalpas, and therefore they are differently described by different authorities when questioned by different students. So that's that sentence right there really is an important thing to remember because it comes up a lot, that the distinctions between the descriptions of creation. So here we are in the third canto in the fifth chapter. Third canto, fifth chapter, and sixth chapter talk about the creation, but it's not the first time. We've already heard about it in the second canto. It was also in the fifth and sixth chapter in the second canto. And there, just like Prabhupada explains here, the general process of creation was explained similar, but then there's different details or different aspects. It's a different perspective, so there's some differences in the description. But as Prabhupada points out, it's because of the different kalpas and the different creations. Because why? The material creation, maintenance, and destruction is a perpetual energy of the Lord. It exists eternally. Material creation exists eternally, although it's not always manifest. I'll just get into that in a bit. Okay. So anyway, but then when it comes manifest again after a different breath of Mahavishnu, let's say, there might be some slight differences. Okay. There is no difference regarding the creative principles and the Lord's control over them. Yet there are some differences in the minute details because of different kalpas or times or creations. The gigantic sky is the material body of the Lord, called the Virat Rupa, and all material creations are resting on the sky or the heart of the Lord. Krishna even has a mark on his foot. Are you familiar with that little mark on his foot? He has a mark, a round little dot on his foot, a round little circle, and inside there's another circle, another concentric, smaller circle. And that's representing that he's within everything, and yet he's distinct from everything. He's within, the whole creation is within him, and yet he's distinct from that creation. That's all on his foot. And I have to admit, I don't know if it's his left foot or his right foot, but one of those 2 feet of his, transcendental lotus feet. Therefore, beginning from the sky, the first material manifestation to the gross vision, down to the earth, everything is called Brahman. Sarvam Kalam Idam Brahma. There is nothing but the Lord, and He is one without a second. So that's a very important statement that comes up a lot and is also misapplied quite often. Sarvam Kalam Idam Brahma. There's nothing but the Lord. Sometimes people look at that and say, yes, that means we're the Lord too. But here Srila Prabhupada and Vyasadeva are very clearly talking about the distinction between the Lord and the living entity. So everything is the Lord, and the living entities are part and parcel of the Lord. But they're distinct from the Lord in the fact that the Lord has all of the Satchitananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss qualities unlimitedly, and we have just a teeny fragment of them. But the Lord's energies and potencies, especially the illusory potency, is so strong that the living entity can even come to the conclusion that I'm God. It's amazing. Isn't it amazing? That potency is Krishna's potency. That's fulfilling the desire of the living entity by their desire to try to enjoy separate from the Lord. There's nothing outside of the Lord, nothing. But with the living entity's minute independence, they can desire to try to enjoy separate from the Lord. So then this whole material creation is created as a playground, as a playpen for those little toddlers, the little miscreant entities who want to try to enjoy separate from the Lord. So it gives them a little quote-unquote safe environment. Okay, you have to, you try to do that over here in this little cloud. We're reading in Krishna House the other day, class at Krishna House was similar verse. This is going to be a little challenging, excuse me. How that this material creation is the living entities. They're trying to think that they're the Supreme Lord, and that's the That's the potency of the Supreme Lord, that He can bewilder them to such a great extent that even though they're completely, we are completely dependent on the Lord for every single thing. Still, we think we're independent and we can make our own way. And so Krishna says, okay, do that over here. Oh, yeah, that, thank you, Krishna. That was it. That even this material world, is part of the creation of the Lord. It's actually part of the spiritual world. It's situated where? Like Srila Prabhupada explains. Like a cloud. It's like a cloud in the spiritual sky. There's a cloudy section there, and that's where the material world is situated. So we're actually, even now, in the material world, in the spiritual world. But not in proper consciousness, so we can't see it. Okay. The living entities, so this is Prabhupada's summarizing verses from the seventh chapter of the Gita, fourth and fifth, or fifth and sixth verse, one of those. The living entities are the superior energies, whereas matter is the inferior energy. And the combination of these energies bring about the manifestation of this material world, which is in the heart of the Lord. Interesting, no? Sometimes we feel so far removed from the Lord, but it's all within His heart. So this chapter, Vidura Talks with Maitreya, was summarized a few times already and will be continued to summarize in most people's classes probably how we got to this point. So when Vidura was on pilgrimage, he met up with Uddhava, who had been present with the Lord at the time of the Lord's apparent departure from this material universe. So Vidura was very anxious to speak to him and hear and speak to him, but also inquire from him. Because he had been with the Lord and he had gotten so much nectar from the Lord. Vidura recommended that he go to speak with Maitreya, because Maitreya was more senior in age to Uddhava, And he was nearby, so he didn't want to overstep the proper etiquette of speaking in front of a more senior person. So anyway, so Vidura talks with Maitreya, and we're just in the beginning of the chapter, and what is his inquiry? Although his intention to speak with Uddhava was to inquire on topics of the Lord's pastimes and intimate association, when he speaks with Maitreya, he begins from these basic points of, can you tell me about the creation and how that takes place? So, another point, this is again the second time that we're hearing. We're only in the third canto, and it's the second time that we're hearing about the whole process of creation. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentaries, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's style oftentimes is to have little dialogues of either between Krishna and devotees or a devotee inquiring. So he has a little dialogue and he says, "Oh no, you're talking about the creation again. Why do we have to hear about this creation so much? You just told us about the creation. Now you're talking about it again." And then Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, he goes on to say, he says, "No, it's very important that we hear about this creation over and over again. So we need to hear about the creation because we need to become fixed in our understanding our understanding of the position of the Supreme Lord and his potencies and our position, that great distinction. It's also important to understand about the creation of the Lord because although Srila Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the two most important rules in Krishna consciousness are to always remember Krishna and never forget him. For the conditioned soul, for the aspiring bhakta, for the conditioned soul, what do you think of when you say, what are you going to think of when you say, just think of Krishna Prabhu? It's hard for us to relate. If we just start to think of Krishna, like if one goes immediately to the 10th canto and hears of his playful pastimes and this and that, it's very easy to misunderstand and think either that he's an ordinary boy and or these other amazing feats that he does are just, you know, exaggerations. So, that's why Srila Prabhupada always stresses, and the acharyas always stress, systematically going through the Bhagavatam so that we learn of the potencies of the Lord in the matter of creation, and we can and see, relatively speaking, gradually see how his unlimited potency is expanded everywhere, and appreciate that because we can relate to the creation because we're stuck here. We can relate to this material world better than the spiritual world at this particular point in our progress in spiritual life. So I just really appreciated that little comment. "Oh no, you're talking about the creation again, and we have to hear about Karana Dakshai Vishnu and this one and Garbha Dakshai Vishnu and the Mahatattva and the Virat Rupa and all these things that are hard to grasp." But what they do is, like for example, a lot of us might have, previous to coming to Krishna consciousness, if we had any religious background, we've heard and accepted that God is great, right? Yeah, God is great. But when we hear about how great God is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, some of that details, it's like, whoa, that's quite an expansion of consciousness, isn't it? Quite an expansion of the concept of that general, vague term, great. And that's what it means, that's what Prabhupada defines Brahman. Brahman means an expanded consciousness. And kripana means the consciousness is so contracted and so small and boxed in, you can't really appreciate anything. So to take us from the process, from the concept of closed-minded or limiting the Supreme Personality of Godhead by our concept of our misunderstanding of what great means, Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining over and over again. Anybody want to give class today? Sorry. It's just a little difficult here. Excuse me.
It's been good so far.
Hmm? Truth spoken concisely might be over any time. It might be over very shortly. Sorry. Okay. We'll do questions in a minute, but I just thought of one other point that I wanted to make. Thank you, Krishna. So, progressive. How have we progressed so far in the Bhagavatam? First canto, the major topic, not topic, but principle that's meant to be understood about the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is the qualifications of the speaker and the qualifications of a listener. So Sukadeva Goswami and Srila Vyasadeva praise because of their qualifications to speak the Bhagavatam. If you remember, some of Sukadeva Goswami's good qualities were that he was submissive. And can you remember another qualification that the sages praised Sukadeva Goswami for? His submissive and his what?
Sukadeva Sutta.
One of them. How about Sutta? Sukadeva
was compassionate. Karunayaha. Yaswana Bhavamachal.
And then Sutta? He was eager to hear also. He listened with eagerness. Thank you. He listened with eagerness to Sukadev. Sutta was in the audience when Sukadev spoke the Bhagavatam to Parikshit. And then Sutta repeated it. And when the sages were inquiring from Sutta, they said, you're submissive to your authorities, and you were eager to hear. So that's a clue for us. For the listener, it's also like in any mundane class or anything, you know, chemistry class or this class or whatever class, one is interested in the qualifications of the teacher, the professor, you know. Is he a good teacher? Does he know his stuff, et cetera, et cetera. And we forget that, well, we also need qualifications. Actually, for the students in general, they don't need any qualifications. They just have to be there. But in the spiritual life, the speaker should be able to repeat properly what they've heard. And the listener also has to have qualifications. It's not that we just come and plop yourself down. But we also have to be eager to hear, because by that eagerness, one will catch a lot more than if you're just like passive. So, first canto establishes the qualifications of a speaker and the qualifications of a listener. Second canto then talks about sadhana. So, different processes of practice will lead to different results. There are various bona fide steps in the process of spiritual realization. And if one wants to understand even the Virat Rupa or the universe, the Virat Rupa, there's a process or a sadhana that's recommended. So that's explained a little bit in the second canto, the different processes of sadhana, mostly to contrast the benefits of bhakti yoga with these other processes. Like, for example, just like Krishna, when Arjuna asked Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, which is better, someone who meditates on your impersonal form or someone who meditates on your personal form? And Krishna says, well, to make progress by meditating on the impersonal form is very difficult because we have a form. So to think of something impersonal, it takes an endeavor. And what to speak of? Clearing your mind from all thoughts impossible. Anyway, so it's a very difficult process, but there is a bona fide way to do it. And then what Arjuna's conclusion after he hears that from Krishna, he says, it's easier to control the wind than it is to control the mind. That the process that you're explaining like that, of controlling the mind like that, that's like impractical and unendurable to me. But that's why Krishna says it too, to contrast how this process of bhakti yoga is so easy to become absorbed in, so easy to participate in, so easy to start. If one is a great scholar, then he has so much literature to read and comprehend, etc., and digest. If one is not so scholarly, or on the other end of the scale, very simple, then there's the process of offering love and devotion to the Supreme Lord in so many different ways. So the benefit, and then Krishna says in the Gita, he says, well, if you worship the demigods, if you do this, you'll go there. And if you worship me, you'll come to me. So when he says you'll go there, you'll go to the demigods or the pitris or wherever. So what is that goal like? That's a temporary goal, because heavenly planets, going up to the heavenly planets means ultimately you're going to have to come down when the karma is used up. But going, making spiritual progress, which is just like we said in the introductory prayer in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it's established, whatever progress one makes is never lost, irrevocable. It can never be taken away. And one gradually accumulates more and more. Even if one doesn't make 100% progress in one life, it's accumulated over various lifetimes. And then gradually one comes to the highest level of realization. And from there, one never comes back again. And what's the situation in the spiritual world? Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam. The bliss of devotional service is always increasing. So contrasting that to different processes of yoga, that and self-realization, that's introduced in the second canto. And now here in the third canto, we're again getting another hint of this process of creation, and how vast it is, and how thorough it is, and how deep it is, and how all Adi Ishvara, how Krishna is the proprietor of everything. And another quality in this verse that was mentioned, that there's no one, there's no second. It's not that there's another person equal to Krishna. No one's equal to Krishna. Ishvara Paramat Krishna. No one's equal to Krishna. So, yeah. And then there was something I wanted to say from. Okay. Anyway, comments or questions so far? Sri Devi Prabhu. Thank you.
Thank you. You managed anyway. I was just thinking that comment you said about the students in universities, they just have to be there, right? But they also have to have qualification, because they have to like get into that university in order to like hear from that professor.
Totally true.
And also like they have to be in a certain, when they get to the higher classes, they have to like, not everyone can get into those classes. Anyway, just there.
But that's okay. No, it's true. As soon as you started to speak, I thought exactly that. I thought, oh, there's qualification. But at least, anyway, good point. Thank you for that.
That was just a good comparison to the point that you made about both of them being qualified. And another thing that I noticed in the purport, how do we relate that comment in the purport where it says material creation is in the heart of the Lord, but then also like he says in the Gita, like, It's like he says different things. Like he says, like, but I'm aloof from the material creation, but it's also in his heart. Like we can't really understand that.
It's interesting because it's in the heart of the Lord, but which form of the Lord that's at the heart of? That's how I see it. Maybe Akuranath Prabhu or others have other things they want to add to it. I think that one of the general points that I get from that, my limited understanding, is There's nothing, you know, we might have the tendency to feel like we're in the material world separate from Krishna. We're not separate from Krishna. We're separated from him by our vision or our lack of ability to see him or our lack of knowledge about him, but we're not separate from Krishna. So that's one thing that I can say. Before you go on, Ragatmika, do you have anything you'd like to add to that, her point? How can we say that that the material creation is in the heart of the Lord, and yet the Lord says that he's separated from, he's aloof from the material creation?
I also think it's so poetic the way it's expressed in this verse, how his own heart is the sky, and then he lays down upon it, although he's still a person with the heart inside his chest, but, you know, it's not some kind of strange, you know, living entity that has a heart outside, like some... Anyway, yeah, so Mayata Tamidang Sarvang Jagadavyaktamurti, he says in his unmanifest form, he pervades everything, and then he also says, and yet everything comes out of me and comes back into me. So Bhagavan, in his Bhagavan feature, he's really inconceivable that he has, I mean, it's not that he stops having an impersonal feature or an unmanifested feature, but yet he's more than that, because he can assert himself as a person and relate to us and accept our service from us, and he enjoys that.
But
it's so beautiful the way it's just the way it's said in this verse, that he lays down upon his heart.
Isn't it? Expands himself in the Bharatmurpa. And then later on in the creation, it's going to say that Lord Brahma does that too. When Lord Brahma stretches out the length of the creation, he's also called Hiranyagarbha. Anyway, but again, that point comes up that it expands, it expands our understanding of the Lord to see. And that one of the things that Srila Jiva Goswami says, that unless we can understand that the Lord is inconceivable, we have no clue of what God is. Oh yeah, God is great. God is love. God is this. God is that. Yeah, I've got it all figured out. No, the Lord is inconceivable. And when the more details we hear about the Lord and his creation and activities, not just creation, his pastimes, the more you actually do see, he is good. Just flashed in my mind the appearance of Lord Varaha. You know, there's Brahma telling Swayambhuva Manu to create progeny, and Swayambhuva Manu says, well, I'd love to, but where am I going to do it? The earth fell into the ocean, and while you were busy with other parts of the creation, the earth fell down into the Garbhadak ocean. I said, oh, I didn't notice that. And then he said, well, I don't know what we should do. I'll think about it for a bit. And as he's thinking, a little thing comes out his nose. Now, usually things that come out noses are not nice. But not only did this little thing, this little form come out of his nose, but then it began to expand. And Lord Brahma's looking at it, and the demigods are looking at it. This must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because who can do that, you know? Then he expands and he roars, etc., and, you know, so many things. And then, so that's like, you know? And somehow or other, we've caught the opportunity to hear about that. That's so nice, right? Like, in your wildest imaginations, would you have come up with an idea that God would do something like that? No, right? Inconceivable. And all attractive. And, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Ragatmika Prabhu?
In the purport it says, Srila Prabhupada says, therefore, beginning from the sky, the first material manifestation to the gross vision, down to the earth, everything is called Brahman. Does that mean, Brahman means the spiritual world. So it just means we're in the spiritual world.
Yep.
Even the gross material earth. And
we're in the spiritual world, it's true.
Remember? So everything is called Brahman.
Everything is Brahman, spirit. Everything is Brahman. It's a similar term. Brahman is a similar term like Atma. It has, depending on how it's used in a sentence or a phrase or whatever, it has, it could, atma, you're familiar, means body, mind, or spirit, or soul. Mm-hmm. And so, Brahman also can refer to different things at different times, but here Prabhupada says that everything is Brahman, everything is spiritual, everything is spiritual. Because even that material energy of the Lord is spiritual. The material energy, and it's also the material energy is eternal, in the energy is eternal, and the material world is manifested and unmanifested at different times. So again, and then just a reminder how that connects to that second canto description, where it says that the material creation is just like a cloud in the corner of the spiritual world. It's a cloud, it's in the spiritual world, but it's just a cloudy section. That's where the material universe is. Yes, anything else that you want to say before Purina steals the mic again?
This is the first time that this description of he lies down on his own.
Can you speak closer to your microphone?
This is the first time that it's described like this, lies down on his own heart,
yeah.
Right? That's something special.
There's so many unique little phrases like that that catch the mind and the intelligence when one is listening eagerly. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Okay, your turn again.
So as far as like Sarvakalpa Vidhan Brahma, there's a Vedic mantra Prabhupada puts in a purport in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I'm probably going to get it wrong, but it goes something like Bhokta Bhogyang Paritarang Chamatva Sarvamakimang Chugadhang Brahman Etat. So it says there's three conceptions of Brahman. The living entities are Brahman, but they're trying to enjoy the material nature. And the material nature is also Brahman. And Krishna is also Brahman, but he's the actual enjoyer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. John, yeah. There's layers of understanding. Thanks. Are there comments or questions? Oh, the younger people.
Well, that's not much weirder than the fact that he's in everyone's heart. And he's also Andantarasta Paramanu. He's in every atom. How did he do that?
And he's in between the atoms, too.
I mean, people think he had 16,000 wives, and they were never alone because he expanded himself 16,000 times.
And not only that.
It's unbelievable.
Not only that, but the living entity who's turned away from the Lord and completely, trying to act independently of him. You know, how many times, if we have a friendly relationship with somebody and yet your friend, hurts your feelings or insults you or steals from you or robs you or blasts from you or tries to kill you or this or that, you're still going to be friends with them? And the Lord stuck with us through all of that and up to this. And that's selfless love. God is love. But what an understanding that is, right? When you get into it. Steve D, are you going to say something or are you just smiling?
I can't resist.
That's why we gave you the mic.
I'm going to go with this.
Okay, go ahead.
From Krishna's perspective.
But you have to say it loud because.
Okay, from Krishna's, from one angle of vision, I qualify. From Krishna's perspective, the whole material world is just one big therapy session.
Therapy session. Yeah, exactly.
Let's act it out.
Yeah.
Let's
get through it. Yeah. The kindest therapist you could ever have, Just work it out, and then when you're ready, come on back.
We're ready to party anytime you get your act together.
Yeah, we're ready to party. We're miserable because of the party, and we think, if I just went to the wrong party, if I just would have gone to the right party, it would be better. Okay, thanks. How about any of our... How about any other of our newer personalities? Do they have any questions or anything they'd like to bring up now while you're in the company of friends? Look, here's the microphone. Not that we're trying to put you on the spot or anything, but... Okay, thank you.
I just thought it was really cool talking about the Lord's heart and how he laid down, and just how Krishna is all pervasive and in everyone's heart is Paramatma. And I'm just learning more. I love the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's great. Yeah. It's great. You know, just nice. Learning and the classes are awesome. And
thank you.
Krishna is all attractive and it's eternal bliss. It's transcendental bliss. You know, Krishna. And, it's just great. Yeah. It's great.
Thanks for sharing that. Thank you very kindly. Anything else? Thank you for putting up with me, Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, I just thought of one thing, Hare Krishna, wait 1 second. Sri Yashupanishad says, sometimes we're feeling a little separate from Krishna, right? We're feeling a little incomplete. We might feel a little lonely. We might feel lost. We might feel dejected. Yashupanishad, in the purport to one of those verses near the end, I think maybe the 10th, but I'm not 100% sure. Prabhupada says, any feelings that the living entity feels of incompleteness is because of a lack of connection with the Lord. Because once we connect with the Lord, then we'll feel complete. So just keep that in the back of your mind too. Okay, thank you very kindly. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.